Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You know what's wrong with the church? Everybody thinks they're the box. That's truthfully it. The church of me. You know, and I don't know how eloquent I'm going to wax on this morning. I've got several passages of scripture I want to get to. But just remember that thought. It isn't the church of Tim Rader. You got to remember that. It's not the church of me. You know, we get all over Catholicism because they believe they have a pope that's God on earth. We get all over them. You know, that's not biblical. It's not right. But yet we ordain ourselves pope of our own church over and over again. You know what it all boils down to is this: the church belongs to Christ. It's His. It's His from the day of Pentecost till the rapture and for all of eternity. The church belongs to Christ. He is the head of the church. You might be thinking, somebody upset Pastor Rader this week. Absolutely not. I'm not preaching in reaction to anything. I want to give you good doctrine this morning. That's all it is. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I'd like to start there. And I start several messages with this passage of Scripture when I preach other places. If I'm preaching on evangelism of the church and going and getting it, going after it and getting it done. And I know you're well familiar and well acquainted with Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16 through 18. I understand that, but let me read it this morning just by way of introduction and trust that God will arrest our attention. Verse 16 says, Simon Peter, they were saying, Jesus saying, who men say that I am? And he named a few prophets, few Old Testament men. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. In other words, you're the long-awaited Messiah, the promised one. Christ is a title. He says, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that's a mouthful. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, or Petros, little rock, little stone, and upon this rock, Petra, two different words there, I will build my church. Jesus said, on me, the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't want to lift high the church this morning. I pray that doesn't happen during the message. But I do want to, it's got to be kept in perspective. If Christ is king, and he is, then the church is queen. He cherishes the church. He died for the church. He rose again for the church. He loves the church. He ordained the church, the church age. Going to get into that in just a little bit. So understand, the church is pretty important. And this is called the church age. It really isn't called, that's a misnomer, it isn't called the age of grace. People are going to get saved during the tribulation because of grace. People are going to get saved during the millennial kingdom because of grace. Grace is always there. This is the church age. And I want to somehow teach you in such a way that you understand the importance of the church. There's so many kinds of churches today. There's everything in the world that you can think of. There are churches that are drive-in churches. There are beer party churches on Thursday night. There are rock and roll churches. There are striptease churches. There are gay churches. There are churches of every denomination that you can dream of. And I got to thinking about the Me Church. There's probably as many denominations in the world, almost as many, as there are people on this planet. That's humanism. That's putting me in front of God. That's deifying me. And it isn't the church of Tim Rader. It is the church of Jesus Christ. And God has given to us good doctrine and proper teachings concerning the church. And it isn't from men. It's from the Word of God. And that's what we need to live by. That's what we need to do. Fundamental Baptist Church is an old-time, Christ-honoring, kneel at the altar, amening, no compromise, No deviation from the Word of God, gospel preaching, New Testament church. Did I forget anything? Did I forget anything? We're Baptists too. I forgot that. By identification. We don't hang our hat there. We just know that that's the group down through church history that we identify with. I wasn't born a Baptist. I choose to be a Baptist. I want to be a biblicist. I want to hold to the Word of God. That being said, there's a lot of Baptists that are worshiping at the Church of Me. You know, it's all about me instead of about Jesus Christ. I would say this at the beginning of this message. Don't abandon the ship. Stay with the Church of Jesus Christ. Stay with the church. The old ship Zion. Its hull may be battered and its torn, its sails may be torn, but one day it will sail safely into heaven's harbor. And you've heard me say this. It's not a cruise ship. Get off the lawn chair. It's a battleship. This is the church age. We're here to glorify God, to grow in grace, and to win souls. That's why we're here. Not to gain wealth and gain things. That's not why we're here. Not to find the most comfortable way. And here's the sad part. A lot of people don't want to be soldiers in the day and age in which we live. They've gotten tired. They've gotten beat up. Man, we're called to be soldiers of grace, soldiers of the cross. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And if we'd ever get a hold of that, man, it would help us in our daily walk. I love the church. I love the local church. I love you people. I know I don't know everything about you. I don't want to know everything about you. You don't want me to know everything about you. You've got your lives that you're living, but I love being the under-shepherd here. I look forward. I said this in Sunday school. I look forward to Sunday. People coming through those doors with those big smiling faces and those big firm handshakes and just people in love with God. And we gather in the pews and we gather around the book and we lift up Jesus Christ and we lift him high and we sing the songs of the faith, songs of the saved, some of the songs that our forefathers sang. And I leave the church after the altar call. I leave the church in victory. I leave the church house ready to serve God. I believe you feel the same way. I love the church. Understand this, the word church is found, ecclesia, 114 times in the New Testament. Some say 112, I counted 114. 114 times it is found. And I want you to understand, number one, this is the church age. Go to Ephesians in chapter 3. Oh, hey, I was trying to think of the term, texted. Texted this information this week. You want a burden for Chippewa County? Here's a demographic that one of our ladies did, I think, for a college class. Chippewa County, 17.3% Catholic, 17.9% evangelical, 6.0% mainline denominations, 67.7% no religious affiliation. You think this isn't a mission field? You think there aren't people outside our doors looking for the truth? 67.7%. By the way, nobody called me on this, so I don't know how accurate this is. I don't know exactly how you do this, but the truth is there are people all around us looking for a lighthouse. I went into Goodwill a little over a week ago now, and a fella come up to me and said, "Hey, aren't you that preacher on TV? Monday Night Football pays off, you know, our little commercial there." And he was already born again. He was already saved. But you know, we're to be a lighthouse. We're to let people know about Jesus, not about me, not about you, but about Christ. That was last Sunday morning's message, wasn't it? Exalt and magnify. Find a way to lift high Jesus Christ. Not just any Jesus. Not your homemade Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. Study the Word of God, all right? Number one, this is the church age. Ephesians chapter 3, let me get over there as quickly as I can. Ephesians in chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7. This was really hard for the Old Testament, the Hebrew Christians even, to get their mind around. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7. The fact that the day is coming when Jesus would put together Jew and Gentile, Greek and barbarian, wise and unwise, rich and poor, and bring them together in Christ, in Christ. That's the terminology that the book of Ephesians uses again and again and again. You're in Sunday school this morning, you already heard that. Verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Mystery of the church. The only mystery of the church is the Jew had a hard time understanding this, and the Old Testament prophets, it was hid from them, that Jew and Gentile would be one. How could that happen? In Christ. Verse 5, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." That we would all be one. The church age. What a wonderful time to be alive. I wouldn't miss church for anything. Doesn't matter if I go on vacation. Doesn't matter where I am. I'm going to find a fundamental church to go to and worship in. You couldn't tear me away from the local church with wild horses. You could take away my salary. I'm still coming to Fundamental Baptist Church. And unless you drag me out of the pulpit until God tells me otherwise, I'm still in the pulpit because the church is so important. The local church, it's being minimized by the devil. It used to be Sunday was kind of set aside. Now, you know, it's just been, the church is just being crowded out. And if you let it, the devil will take it away from you. NHL, NBA, NFL, NASCAR. Why are all these things on Sunday? Why is that? Hockey, youth hockey. Why? You're just pulling people away. Pulling people away. The church is queen as far as the scripture is concerned. The church universal has never met. That's future. You hear the terminology universal church? That's the future. When the rapture takes place, then the church universal is going to be together. I believe the church universal is made up of everybody saved in the day of Pentecost to the rapture. But we don't meet here on this earth. God has ordained the local church to meet here on this earth. I challenge you, show me in the Bible where the universal church is meeting today. It's not. But yet so many of the epistles and so many of the letters are written to New Testament local churches that God has ordained. From Pentecost to the rapture, from Jerusalem to Laodicea, the church is ordained of God. You can't freelance it. You can't make up your own church. Oh, you can. People do. But you won't be right. And you won't have God's blessing. The local church. The Old Testament Jews were responsible for the oracles of God. That's the oracles, that's the Word of God. The New Testament church, man, we've got it all. We've got the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We're to spread the truth. I'm not above the Bible. You're not above the Bible. The local church, ordained of God, two offices, pastors and deacons, under shepherds and servants. That's it. And the church has got a job to do. We're to glorify God. We're to evangelize. We're to grow in grace. We're to grow. We're to grow like a mighty army. We're to grow for the glory of God. It's not an organization. It's an organism. And its head is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It's not a building. It's not brick. It's not stone. It's not pews. It's not wood. When the trumpet sounds, all of that's going to be left behind. The church is raptured. The church is people. People that are born again. The local church is people that are born again and follow the Lord in the waters of baptism, united together to be that local church, that lighthouse, to evangelize, to grow Christians so they'll grow in grace, to teach them the Word of God, and then to magnify Christ in all of it so others will come to Christ. We send out missionaries. We ordain preachers and license preachers and send them out for the glory of God. That's the church. We're to be that lighthouse. The church is referred to in Ephesians in chapter 5 as the bride. Why don't you turn there? Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 24 through 32. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The church, spoken of as a bride, spoken also as a body. This is a metaphor. Ephesians chapter 3, turn to chapter 3. I already read verses 1 through 6. Paul said he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me, given me to you, how that by revelation you made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It's referred to as a bride in Ephesians 5, as the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3. Also, even a better rendition would be 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Also, it's referred to as a building. Look at the second chapter in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Oh, I could go way before that, but I'll just go with verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of God and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're referred to as the building of Christ. It's a metaphor. It's a teaching point, a teaching principle. We're the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're the building of Christ. We're fitly framed together. God knows exactly who you are and what he's enabled you and given you specific talents, and you are to use those talents within the context of the New Testament local church. Together, we become the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the building of Christ, and we're that lighthouse for the world to see Jesus. We're that lighthouse that's to magnify Christ in the storm, on the rocky shore, as people are trying to make it through the storm. We're to say, here's Jesus. He's over here. He's right there. Look how big he is. Look how wonderful he is. Look how magnificent he is. And it's all of grace. That's the purpose of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Look at that first chapter in the book of Ephesians, verses 20 through 23. Which he wrought or worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, that's the devil as well, and his kingdom, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is the head of the church. The very word ecclesia is descriptive. It was a governmental word in the Roman Empire with the Greeks. And God chose to use the word ecclesia to describe the church. It means called out assembly. Called out. We are to be separatists. We're called out of the world. We're supposed to be different. Assembly. You can't have church at the lake. You can't have church in your deer stand because there's no assembly there. The church is a called out assembly. God used very exact words. A living, breathing organism that reflects the love and power of God. I was thinking about this week, and I've thought about it before, and I'm old enough now that I actually think I can analyze some things, and I've seen enough life. You show me an organization that is not under the authority of the local church, and I will show you an organization that drifts left. And I used to think I knew an exception, but I don't. A Bible college that isn't under the authority of the local church will drift left. A church that isn't under the authority of the Bible will drift left. We need an anchor. And that anchor is right here. It's the Word of God. We're a long ways from perfect here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Man, we got warts. We have issues. We have, as Joe Arthur said, stuff. We all got stuff. I got stuff, you got stuff, all God's people got stuff. Remember him saying that? Left a mark in my life. I thought, man, that's the truth. There are no perfect people. You can't chase away people that are imperfect. You won't have anybody left after a while. You know, so understand, we understand we have not arrived. But in our position, you were here in Sunday school, we are already in Christ. Already there. and Christ is in the heavenlies. Oh, Ephesians chapter 1. What a powerful passage of Scripture. The church is not a building. It's a people, a called out people, called out of the world, an assembly gathered together for the cause of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. I'm going to start winding this down, so hang with me. I got a good 5-10 minutes yet, though. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Pastor Joshua read this for the text here this morning. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Glory in the church. There's nothing like a New Testament church that is surrendered and knows the spirit of revival, and God is able to work in her midst. God is that light, that candlestick in the midst of the church. There's glory in the church. You can come to my house tonight after church and we can put in a frozen pizza in the oven and we can have pizza and have a little fellowship, but it's not church. It's not the same as coming here and rubbing shoulders. Iron sharpeneth iron, lifting our voices together, praying together, hearing the word of God together, so that the Holy Spirit speaks to us corporately and individually, and he builds his church. If church isn't important, then practice wouldn't be important for a ball team. They could just go home and read the playbook, just come together every once in a while and play in the Super Bowl. That's not how it works. We're sinners. We may be saved by grace, but we're sinners, and the church is God's idea. Revelation chapter 3, would you turn there? Revelation chapter 3. Denominations have nothing to do with it. Nothing. You know there are no denominations in the Bible? No denominations in the Word of God? You can't look there and find the Lutherans. You can't look there and find the Methodists. You can't look and find Episcopalians. You can't even look and find Baptists. We all say John the Baptist, but you know what? He was John the Baptizer. And without giving you all kinds of church history, because I don't have time to do that right now, God has always had a people. He's always had a people that were surrendered to the book and lived by, they weren't always flashy and they weren't always up front, but God's power was upon them and they impacted the world in every generation. Now we're coming right to the end of the church age. By the way, the church of the open door, the church in Philadelphia, I'm going to read that right now, but that door is closing. You need to understand that. The trumpet is ready to sound. The right church is a church that's honoring God. Let me read it. Just read it. And make summary comments here in verses 7 through 13. Verse 7 says, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. That's Jesus. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The ministry is ordered of God, verse 18. It's a ministry of open door. No man can shut it. It's a ministry that depends upon God, and they're faithful. They have not denied the word of God. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. Not worship them, but worship before their feet. And to know that I have loved thee. They're worshiping God. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The Philadelphia church is a ministry church. The Philadelphia church is a church with an open door. Even though they only have a little strength, and therefore they depend upon God. They're faithful to the truth. And it's the church that does not go into the tribulation. That tribulation, that trial, that hour of trial that will come upon all the world. The Philadelphia church is the church that's standing tall when the trumpet sounds. Now I said we're in the church age. It's exciting days to be living in. Paul said that perilous times, dangerous days will come at the end. Men will forsake God, and they're doing it in every direction. I cannot believe some of the people, some of the men that I used to greatly respect, how they've turned their back on the Bible. It just baffles me. And I can't take care of them, but I got enough to take care of with Tim Rader, and I just keep my nose in the book. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to give in. We're going to stand tall for Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, we'll be that Philadelphia church that's raptured out of this world because we're true believers, because we're standing for the truth. Church of the Open Door, kind of a funny way to say it. I'd like to say it this way. The door is closing. The age is drawing to a close. Take your Bibles and turn to Titus. Last verse we'll look at this morning. Titus in chapter 2. The job of the church, I get saved, I get born again. I join the local church, so I got baptized, and I identify right here with us, Fundamental Baptist Church. And here I am. And the job of this church is to glorify God, not man, certainly not a singing group, not a philosophy, not a business, but God. It's Christ's church. How do we glorify God? By growing in grace. I learn the Word of God. I read the Word of God. Systematically, I study the Word of God. I have a prayer closet. I'm growing in grace. I'm trying to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And by evangelizing, allowing the Lord God to add to the church because we lead people to Christ. People got saved last week. I hope maybe you were involved in leading someone to Christ. There's all kinds of things going on and all kinds of opportunities to present the gospel here within these four walls or in our buildings and outside as well. That's the job of the church. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. What a way to refer to the second coming of Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. Oh, before we read the rest of verse 13, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. Keep your finger right here. We're coming right back to it. We're not going to be away long. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. This is one of those things I came across as I was studying. Never really saw it before, never really thought about it before. So I started looking into it a little bit deeper, and I found it the very same doctrine taught and taught the same way in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and James chapter 5 and verse 8. It says here in verse 28, and now little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John was expecting Christ to return in his lifetime. We, when we see him, man, Jesus is so close to returning to this earth. The door, the open door for the church at Philadelphia will be closed. Man, we got to give out the gospel. Go back one more time to Titus 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't tell me Jesus isn't God. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Looking for that blessed hope. Wasn't much of an outline this morning. I'm sorry about that. I don't know if I covered everything I studied. I can't even remember some of the things. I never remember what I preached a lot of times. But I want you to know this. The Church of Jesus Christ was God's idea. He ordained it. He ordered it. He set up a dispensation of time called the Church Age. We're at the end of it. We're at the end of the 2,000 years. Laodicea is all around us. Philadelphia, we're smaller in number than the world. You say, what do you mean we're smaller in number? We're one of the biggest churches in the county. We might be the biggest church in the county. What do you mean we're small in numbers? 7 billion people on this planet. A lot of evil, a lot of wicked powers. But we have Jesus. And we look for that blessed hope.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.